परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर ललिता विशाखा की जय। श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नम ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। I'm very happy to be here amongst all of you on the east coast of Canada and the US. I do not know in which particular places you are. Perhaps you spread out over many places in the east coast. In any case, I'm happy to be with all of you. Lakshmi Moni Mataji asked if I could speak about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, since you are observing his disappearance day today, but we observed it yesterday here in India. But nevertheless, discussions about the Lord and His pure devotees are transcendental to space and time, so it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that we have an opportunity to glorify the Acharyas, the great devotees of the Lord. Of course, we're all familiar with who Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is. He is the spiritual master of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we all know so much about him, we keep hearing about him, all the more because Srila Prabhupada used to not only personally mention him many times in his talks, but he would also often cite various stories told by him, various examples mentioned by him, and the philosophical conclusions given by him. Srila Prabhupada was very greatly influenced in the style and content and manner of his preaching and establishing the Krishna consciousness movement worldwide by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's stamp, so to speak, is very clearly visible in the way that Srila Prabhupada set up ISKCON. For example, the bold and revolutionary spirit of preaching without fear or favor, the very innovative style of preaching and presenting Krishna consciousness everywhere, addressing issues that were currently very, very important, that need to be addressed, that would otherwise make people get a mistaken impression of Krishna consciousness. His establishment of the Daivi Varnashrama system, an emphasis on that. His very clear presentation of the principles and conclusions of Krishna consciousness. And separating the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. Establishing an institution, which was something very rarely done before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At least not in the scale on which he did it, a formal institution which Srila Prabhupada followed up and set up ISKCON. And among other things, finally, of course, his emphasis on book distribution, book publishing, book printing, publishing and distribution. What I would do is I will recite his pranam mantra, and then I'll try to speak a little bit. There are four parts to the pranam mantra of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We usually recite this at the time of Pushpanjali, when we offer flower petals on his appearance day or disappearance day, or at other such occasions. So just like for Prabhupada, we have the pranam mantra starting with Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, so also with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine. So here we only change Bhaktivedanta Swami with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is Krishna Preshtha, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, Bhutale, and Vishnu Padaya, who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the pranam mantra, or the invocation mantra, when we start off by glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we chant this mantra. So the translation is that I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. So this is, of course, the principal characteristic of pure devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, where the symptoms of knowledge are being described by Lord Krishna, he points out that surrender to Krishna is the most important. Similarly, when the qualities of a Vaishnava are being described, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented that actually the most important Vaishnava quality is surrender to Lord Krishna. You know, there are other qualities like being expert, being a poet, and so on and so forth. There could be others who are expert in doing things, they could be expert poets, but it doesn't mean anything unless one has surrendered oneself to Krishna. They will be merely material qualities. Even if one is very highly renounced, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, that renunciation is in vain. It doesn't really lead to any substantial spiritual benefit. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized this point, that taking complete shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, being completely surrendered unto him, was the most important and significant quality of a devotee. So other qualities are incidental. They stem from this most important quality of surrender. If this is there, he explained, everything will happen one by one. All the other qualities will come. Srila Prabhupada also emphasized this again and again, that all the good qualities, not just of the demigods, but even of Krishna, of course, in a limited extent, manifest in the person of a pure devotee of the Lord. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave complete emphasis to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what is this surrender? What is this devotional service? What does it mean to be a devotee? So the next part of his pranam mantra goes as follows. Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha. So Namaha, we all are familiar with this term. We offer obeisances. To whom? Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya. So, you know, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born, when he appeared in this world, he was given the name Bimala Prasad by his father, the great Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bimala Prasad, of course, means the mercy of Bimala Devi, who is Yogamaya Devi and who also is present in the courtyard of the Jagannath temple in Puri. And actually it is the custom there that whenever the bhoga is offered to Lord Jagannath, it is not distributed as Mahaprasadam unless it is also offered later to Vimala Devi. So actually what we partake of is the Mahaprasadam of Vimala, of Lord Jagannath, because it has been partaken of by Vimala Devi also. So his name was Bimala Prasad, and later he got initiation from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and he was given the name Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Dasa. Now this is something many devotees are not familiar with, that this was his initiated name. So this is a very interesting name. It may sound very long and difficult to pronounce, but let's just consider the meaning of the name, because it's very important. You know, most people outside of ISKCON, even in India, find it very hard to understand the names of devotees in ISKCON, you know, because they're so long, or they're a little different, you know, Priya so-and-so, Prema so-and-so, and it's all combinations of different things, and they're usually not names that people hear of so regularly. So what would they say today if they heard Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Dasa? So, of course, Varshabhanavi refers to Srimati Radharani, because she is the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So in Sanskrit, when you have the daughter of something that belongs to or comes from something, you have a little change in the grammatical structure. So from Vrishabhanu, you have Varshabhanavi. Just like from Kunti, you have Kaunteya. You know, Arjuna is called Kaunteya because he's the son of Kunti. Or from Pritha comes Partha because he's the son of Pritha, so he becomes Partha. So similarly, the daughter of Vrishabhanu becomes Varshabhanavi. And because she's a lady, so Devi. So Varshabhanavi Devi. So Srimati Radharani's name is Varshabhanavi Devi. The word Daita means beloved. So who is the beloved of Srimati Radharani? That's Krishna. So Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita refers to Krishna, who is the beloved of Srimati Radharani. And then Das. So the meaning of his name really is, he is a servant of the beloved of Srimati Radharani. So Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya. Daitaya indicates unto. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was known by the earlier name for Kripabdhaye. Abdhi means an ocean. So he is an ocean of mercy. Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine. Prabhave Namaha. Prabhave indicates unto the Prabhu. Prabhu means a master. So I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is an ocean of mercy and who is Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daya. He gives. What does he give? Vijnana, science. What kind of science? Krishna Sambandha. The science of relationship with Krishna. The science of Krishna consciousness. So I bow down to him because he is the giver of the deliverer of the science of Krishna consciousness. So as I mentioned in the beginning, one of the important, very, very important contributions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is that he presented Krishna consciousness with so much clarity. There was no doubt. There was no wishy-washy, you know, presentation. Maybe this, maybe that, that's also okay, this is also okay. No, he was just cut and dry, very clear about everything. As was, you know, his dear disciple, Srila Prabhupada. So in the course of doing that, not only did he present what the principles of Krishna consciousness are, but he also distinguished those from misunderstandings and misconceptions of Krishna consciousness. You know, when we learn anything, we have to learn the positives and the negatives. We have to learn what something is and we have to learn what it isn't also. Our knowledge will not be complete only if you learn what is. We also equally have to learn what isn't. You know, completeness comes when the positive and the negative are combined. Similarly, in the instructions that we follow as devotees, we have do's and don'ts. You know, chant 16 rounds, at least read Prabhupada's books, worship the deities. So many do's. These are positives that help us to grow in our devotion to Krishna. But then there are don'ts also. Don't eat meat, don't take intoxicants, you know. So we follow the four regulatory principles because they help us from going away from Krishna. So if one simply does the positives but neglects the negative, it will be very hard to make advancement. So similarly, in the understanding of any branch of knowledge, especially the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, understanding the reality and distinguishing it from illusion is very important. And illusion comes in many varieties, packaged in different forms, according to time, place, circumstance, because the human brain is very fertile and imaginative. So illusion can present itself through the minds and mouths of very materialistically intelligent people in very charming and attractive forms, and they can allure people because they present a semblance of being very authentic. So it needs an acharya like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada to actually distinguish the two. You know, when you're an inexperienced gardener, you would not know the difference between the real plant and the weed. It needs some understanding of what is what. So similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us what is what. You know, I remember one time in Vrindavan, we were hearing a class, very interesting, by His Holiness Purushottaraya Swami from Brazil. And there's one very simple definition of a Vaishnava he gave. This was like way back. And I found that such a nice definition. I'd never heard it anywhere before. And he said, a Vaishnava is one who knows what is what. So, really, such a wonderful definition. And when I think about it, and I see, actually, it's a very deep statement. I never got the chance to meet him afterwards and thank him for this one sentence, you know, this aphorism. But it's very, very instructive. A Vaishnava is one who knows what is what. And as a corollary, you should know what is not also. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to tell many stories in the course of explaining the different forms of the Supreme Lord and His position. So he wanted the devotees to have a very clear understanding of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, what is His position, and so on. And that the Lord can be understood only through pure devotional service and not by any other means. So he would often tell stories. Some of these stories he would take from various sources, like Hitopadesha, or sometimes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and sometimes he would just, you know, create them. And they were very, very valid. So he told the story of the six blind men and the elephants. We've heard that in various other contexts. But he applied it to Krishna consciousness, this story. So, as you know, I'll be brief about this little story. That once upon a time, there were six blind men. And they came upon an elephant. And they wanted to understand what this strange big animal was. So one man, he got hold of the leg of the elephant. And then he said, the elephant is like a trunk of a tree. Another one got hold, you know, of the underside of the belly of the elephant and said, oh, the elephant is like a drum. And a third man got hold of the tail and he said the elephant is like a rope. Another man got hold of the trunk and he said an elephant is like a snake. Another man climbed to the top of the elephant and got hold of the ears of the elephant and said the elephant is like a huge fan. In this way they kept arguing amongst each other. No, the elephant is like a fan. No, it's like a trunk of a tree. And then there was one man who happened to pass by who had normal vision. And he heard with some amusement this whole debate going on. And then he explained to them what an elephant really looked like. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, and Srila Prabhupada also told this story on several occasions, that those who try to speculate about the nature of the Absolute Truth according to their limited intelligence, however great it may seem by material estimation, it is still very, very limited, and by our defective sense perception, will always come to some wrong conclusions, especially when it comes to matters of transcendence. Even in matters dealing with this material world, we cannot come to proper conclusions based on sensory perception alone. What then to speak of understanding transcendental subjects? So the whole process of speculating by various ways and making all sorts of theories is completely invalid and useless when it comes to understanding the absolute truth. So such speculative theories can happen by those who follow various isms, you know, even in the philosophical systems, those who follow the voidist system, the impersonalist system, various other speculative branches of knowledge, including what is called the modern science, you know, the way they go about trying to understand reality, etc. So it is not possible to understand anything beyond material energy by such speculation. One must approach a pure devotee of the Lord and hear in the bona fide disciplic succession that comes originally from Lord Krishna himself. Only then will it be possible to understand. Because knowledge of transcendence can come only when it is revealed by transcendence. And then it is passed on through the disciplic succession down to every generation. And he said another story which illustrates the futility of trying material methods to understand that which is inherently, essentially, beyond material perception. This was another funny story that he said about a rich landlord who was quite an eccentric. And one time at night, he demanded that he wanted to see the sun, the bright sun. So he called his employees, and the employees were very eager to satisfy him in some way or the other. So they said, the landlord said, "I can't see the sun in the sky. Can you find out where the sun is? I want to see it now, right now." So then somebody brought a torch and they started looking in the sky, pointing it in the sky, and they couldn't find it. Another man came and said, "Just one torch is not going to do. You know, we'll need many more lights like this." So they got hold of many, many more lights, and still it wasn't possible to see the sun. Finally, some other intelligent people came and they said, "No, no, that's not going to be enough. You need millions and millions of such lamps, because it's so dark out there in space. If you really want to see anything, you have to have a very huge source of light." So they started getting all these lights together. Meanwhile, there was at least one sensible fellow over there. So he came up and said, "Look, it's a futile exercise. You're never going to be able to see the sun at night. All you have to do is wait for sunrise, and automatically the sun will reveal itself." So then everybody understood what they were doing. So similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that trying to understand the Lord through the darkness of sense perception is a futile endeavor. Trying to make judgments about the philosophical conclusions of Krishna consciousness is also something that is very futile. It's incorrect. So those who pass judgments about philosophical conclusions without taking knowledge from the proper source are simply misleading people and themselves as well. So he was very innovative in the way he explained philosophical ideas. Sometimes he told stories of this sort. And he also distinguished between material activities and Krishna conscious activities. Because it's very common that people misunderstand material activities to be Krishna conscious. They think that because something appears philanthropic or something appears spiritual, that it is automatically a devotional activity. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the story of the blacksmith and the potter. They were two friends. So the blacksmith came to visit the potter. The potter was busy making his pots on the potter's wheel. And if you've seen how a potter makes pots, you know, he holds the pot from inside as it's being rotated on the wheel. he supports it from inside with the palm of one hand, and with the other he gently taps it with some flat instrument. And in this way he gets the desired curve or the shape to that pot. So naturally you have to tap it very gently. So now the blacksmith's profession involves very hard hitting of the metal. You know, if you've seen a blacksmith at work, you know he really has to pound the metal. So the blacksmith was used to that kind of work. He was hard hitting by nature. So when he came, he decided to help out his dear friend, the potter. But he was used to a certain process in a certain manner. He was accustomed to that. So when he was trying with the pots, he hit with the same force that he would when he was dealing with his metals. So with the result that he destroyed all the pots that his friend had made. And naturally there was disaster because everything, everything broke. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that ignorant people think that Krishna consciousness and material activities are the same. And just because something superficially resembles something spiritual, it's not necessarily really spiritual. You know, Krishna, the Prabhupada also gave the examples of Arjuna and Duryodhana. Both were fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Externally, superficially, it appeared that they were doing an identical activity. They were both shooting arrows, they were both seated on chariots, you know, they were fighting ferociously on the battlefield. But there was a world of difference between the two. The consciousness in which Arjuna, in which they were fighting, the purpose for which they were fighting, everything was quite different. So similarly, even though externally there is some superficial resemblance between material activities and spiritual activities, one must know actually there is a distinction. Devotees also do things that appear to others to be ordinary activities. Devotees may drive cars. Devotees may, operate a computer, use a phone, or they may do so. They may eat food. They may go to a doctor. You know, they may do so many things. But it doesn't mean that when a non-devotee does exactly these things, that is identical. The devotee's purpose is Krishna conscious. Therefore, that makes all the difference. So using the example of the story of the blacksmith and the potter, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried to distinguish material activities from Krishna conscious activities. Also another thing that he was very keen to dispel was false tradition. You know, because many times people, at least in India, people do things because it's part of tradition, because it is done. And yes, there is a lot to say about following tradition, provided it's the right tradition. If you follow just any tradition whimsically, that's not going to lead to any wholesome conclusion. So he narrated another story. By the way, these stories have been compiled together by his disciples and published in the form of a book called Upakhyani Upadesh. Upadesh means instructions. Upakhyan means little stories. Akhyan means a story, like Prahlad Maharaj's Akhyan in the Bhagavatam. Upakhyan means, upa means a sub, so a small story. So, through small stories, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained many, many philosophical points. So, in this connection, to illustrate the fallacy of following wrong customs and traditions, he narrated the story of the Brahmanas who were living on the bank of the river Ganga. And they would go there to take a bath every day, twice a day, thrice a day. And they would go there with their copper pots. And they would then later collect the Ganga water and perform various functions of worship with that water. invariably what would happen is that because the copper pots looked alike, they would get interchanged. One Brahmana would pick the pot belonging to somebody else thinking it was his, and in this way everyone interchanged their pots. So one elderly Brahmana had enough of this. He said, every time I come it's a daily problem. So I must mark out my pot so as to make it distinctive, so that nobody else will take my pot. So he took a bit of sand from the riverbank, and then he put a lump of it on top of his pot, so that people would think, okay, at least I never put some sand on my pot, so then this is not mine. But what happened is that the other Brahmanas observed him. Now, he was a very wise Brahmana. So they thought, oh, there's some deep significance, something esoteric behind this, putting of the lump of sand on that pot. So they all did the same thing. So when this old Brahmana came back again, it was back to square one. Everything was the same again, and he couldn't distinguish which was his pot and which belonged to others. So in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cautioned against blind adherence to tradition and customs. So here is the subtle distinction we have to make. We have to follow tradition very nicely, very properly, but we must know exactly what the elements of that tradition are and how to apply that to our modern circumstance and situation. Therein lies wisdom. But if we blindly follow or we blindly reject, both are not recommended. They will not be healthy. So anyway, this was an interesting story. And one last story, since I'm narrating so many stories today. Going to the practice of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, he cautioned devotees against the weeds, against succumbing to the lure of profit adoration and distinction, puja, labh, pratishtha. And he said sometimes, because the spiritual master has to kind of humor the disciple in such a way as to somehow keep him or her engaged in Krishna's service. Because not everybody comes with a totally surrendered mindset. Some people come because they have some motive, maybe it's just a good thing to do, so they would come. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the story of Balam Rice. So one time there was this wealthy man, and he had some domestic help, some servant. But nobody would last long. They would stay for some time and then they would leave the job and go away. So he was quite disturbed about it. So one day he spoke to a friend, and his friend said, what you should do is feed him this super quality rice. The brand name of this rice is Balam rice. This is so delicious that once he gets the taste of this kind of rice, in Bengal they eat a lot of rice, So those of you who have been there, So they're big time rice eaters. And if you have rice with ghee on top, boiled rice and a little salt and a little ghee, that's like, maybe what you have, pizzas and whatever, it's like that. It's the equivalent of that. So then he started feeding the servant this delicious balam rice with pure cow's ghee. And who eats this kind of rice with this kind of ghee? He's only really wealthy people, and here there was this man wanting to getting to eat this every day. So after some time, when the owner of the house was making him work more and more, he wanted to leave. But then he remembered, who's going to give me this balam rice? You know, so he stayed. Sometimes he left, but he never got the balam rice anyway outside. So he would come back and make an excuse, I'm missing your association, and I want to be here and serve you. But actually the motivation was the delicious balam rice. And then that servant never left, and he didn't have any other domestic problems after that. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that so also the spiritual master may sometimes receive very sincere disciples, but sometimes there may be others who have ulterior motives. And they come and they need some material facility, they need some position, they need some power in order to continue their Krishna consciousness. So somehow or the other, just to keep them in Krishna consciousness, you know, he engages them in some service, gives them a position like balam rice, and then that devotee can't leave Krishna consciousness because he has that special facility. He has that position or that privilege or that prestige or whatever it is. And so he's stuck, so to speak, with Krishna's service. And because he's serving Krishna, then he gets purified. And eventually he transcends, you know, those ulterior motives and gradually becomes a pure devotee by the mercy of the spiritual master and the other Vaishnavas. So in this way, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained very nicely the process of Krishna consciousness, what it is, what it isn't, and what we should be cautious of. Very quickly, the third part of his pranam mantra, Madhuryojjvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupa Anuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. Madhurya refers to the conjugal mellow in devotional service. Ujjvala refers to something that is bright, brilliant, radiant, because the conjugal mellow is considered to be the best and the highest in Vrindavan. Premadhyaya Rupanuga Bhaktida. Bhaktida means he came to give devotional service. What kind of devotional service did he come to give? Sri Rupanuga. That devotional service following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Not some devotional service that was whimsical, not some devotional service that was concocted at some point by somebody, but he came to give the authentic, authorized devotional service that is practiced by the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. And what kind of bhakti was that? Srila Rupa Goswami's teachings? Madhurya Ujjvala Premadhyaya. That devotional service which was enriched with the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Now, how to reconcile this with the ordinary teachings where he spoke about, you know, puja, la, pratishtha, he spoke about so many other seemingly very elementary aspects of the philosophy. So how can we say that he came to give the highest love of Vrindavan? And they were engaged in worship of the deity, they were engaged in cleaning the temple, the disciples were cooking, they were publishing literature. So how is that connected with the love of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan? So the answer actually is in the logo of the Gaudiya Math that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur founded. It's a very interesting logo. He personally drew it with his own hands, and then it was made into a, you know, whatever, it was put into the press. So in the center is Sri Naam, the holy name. And then on the left of that is a picture or a painting of Lakshmi Narayan. On top there is a Pancharatrika scriptures which are meant for deity worship. And below Lakshmi Narayan there are some paraphernalia of deity worship, you know, like the conch shell and the plate and the incense and so on. So that's, and then below that it says Vidhi, Vidhi means the process of devotional service according to regulative principles, according to rules and regulations, which is what we do. That is our process we have to follow. So therefore some people may say, especially those staying in Radhakund and maybe other places, may say that we are just dealing with elementary stuff and it's just we are Vaidhi Bhaktas. So what about the Raganuga Bhaktas, Bhakti? So in the other half of the logo, it's interesting that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had Radha Krishna, and then on the left of Radha, a little to the side, he had the Mridanga, and he had a printing press. Yes, he actually drew the outline of a printing press in those days. And then he had the Srimad Bhagavatam, indicating that actually these, and then the statement Rag, which means the Raganuga Bhakti, Rag Bhakti, the devotion of spontaneous service to Krishna. In the Vaidhi path, you know, one is impelled mostly by obedience and faith in the scriptures and the directions of the spiritual master. Whereas in the Raga Marg, in the path of spontaneous love for Krishna, one is impelled not by the rules and regulations, but by a natural outpouring of love from the heart. So, in the Raga side, there is Radha Krishna, and there is the Bhagavatam, and there is the Mridangam, and the printing press. Which means that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was making a very important declaration that these are activities of Raganuga Bhakti. Because you're actually spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. The chanting, congregational chanting of the holy names. So that's where the Mridanga. Then the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's also Rag Marga, if we do it in that spirit of Radha and Krishna, the spirit of Vrindavan and of Sheikh Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then what about the printing press? You know, when I first became a devotee, I was always intrigued about how the devotees would say, I'm going out for Sankirtan, and they never had any Mridanga or Kartal with them. Because coming from India, my understanding of Kirtan was that it has to be done musically with, you know, with instruments and you sing. And they would go out and distribute books and say, I did Sankirtan. So I never quite understood it, you know, right in the beginning, what the reason was for calling this Sankirtan. It was only later that I understood. And the reason for that is the explanation given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that when you play the Mridanga, you can hear it only maybe down the street or maybe one or two blocks, that's all. But if you print transcendental literature and then you distribute it widely, the voice of the spiritual world, the message of Krishna consciousness, the sound, transcendental sound vibration, could reach all across the globe. So the whole preaching mission is essentially an activity of Raganuga Bhakti if one is fully immersed in that, if one is absorbed in that, if one is not engaged in superficially doing it, or if one is not doing it with some ulterior motive. If one is sincerely, wholeheartedly doing this, then actually these are activities of Raganuga Bhakti. So actually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's program for the devotees was that we practice Vaidhi Bhakti by uniting with whatever elements of Raganuga Bhakti that a devotee is eligible for according to his or her level of advancement. Because Raganuga Bhakti is a very deep subject, not so easy to understand at all, and something to be approach very cautiously, not just casually or whimsically. So he said that when one has very high taste for Krishna consciousness, then one does Raganuga Bhakti naturally. But if one doesn't have the taste, then one performs devotional service according to rules and regulations, And one adopts elements of Raganuga Bhakti according to one's capacity. So therefore the activities of chanting the holy names, of hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, book distribution, all these activities are also glorious for us. So he has reconciled this particular issue for us, for our benefit. So I thought that was a very important and significant contribution of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, especially for the modern day, when book distribution is such an integral part of our preaching mission. Of course, now we have the internet and everything, so that is the digital equivalent of book distribution, but it's still the same. Principle is the same. So therefore we see Madhuryojjwala Premadhya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida, that is born out. Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya. Vigraha means the form. So he is the personification of the mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And finally the last one. Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are the very personification of the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gauravani Murti. Vani means the teachings. So Murti means the form. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the very form, the very personification of the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He is Dinatarana. He is the deliverer of the fallen. Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Siddhanta means the proper conclusions. Apasiddhanta means the wrong conclusions. So if there was any wrong conclusion, meaning a conclusion that was opposed, Viruddha, opposed to what? Rupanuga. According to the followers of Rupa Goswami, if there was some conclusion that was wrong, then he would dhanta harine, he would destroy that conclusion. He would refute it, repudiate it. So he was fearless when it came to destroying misconceptions that were widely preached in his time. For example, that if one is born in a Brahmana family, one is automatically a Brahmana, and the one is entitled to become a guru because one is a born Brahmana, and so on and so forth. So there were numerous such other misconceptions prevailing at that time. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very fearlessly explained how these things were actually wrong and cautioned devotees against falling prey to these misunderstandings. So today we owe a very, very great debt to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We see him through Srila Prabhupada's mood, his mission, and on the day of his disappearance we can pray at his lotus feet that he may kindly bless us, shower his mercy upon us, so that we may imbibe an atomic particle of his qualities and his devotion, and we may please him so that we can make our life successful. Actually, for great personalities, the disappearance day is often considered to be more important than the appearance day. When a great devotee is born, mostly people don't know his glories. But by the time the person departs, the whole world knows his glories. So the disappearance, therefore, is more important. And also because that is the day on which that devotee actually joins or rejoins, as the case may be, the transcendental, eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. So I think I'll stop here. Lakshmi Moni Mataji, I hope I'm not over time. I am okay for time. Okay. Lakshmi Moni Mataji asked me to make it a little philosophical, not biographical, so I hope I was successful in doing that. I threw in a few stories though. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure that I could be of some service to you and to all the devotees. And to the assembled devotees, I'd like to say that Lakshmi Moni Mataji just now said that they don't get much. You don't get much association there. But I want to point out that you have her association. So that's something very precious. And I would encourage you to take it, to take full advantage of it. She is certainly a very, very special devotee, and you're very fortunate that she is in your midst. So do take the benefit of her association. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mary. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Hare